I'm going to just start out with this. How many of you have ever seen the movie Awakenings? Robin Williams was in it. And it was about a group of people who were in a mental hospital who had some type of sleeping disease that put them in a state of basically being asleep. They were like walking zombies. And I can't tell you what the name of the disease was, but I remember watching this. And that one of the doctors was experimenting with a new medication in hopes of waking up the sleeping people. And so they began to give the people doses, different doses of this drug, and they kept increasing it until all of a sudden, you know, one man began to, or actually it was a woman, she came out of this state of slumber or whatever it was, a state of being in some sleep. And so they began to use it on everybody else in the hospital, and the entire ward miraculously woke up out of this sleep or the slumber state, and they were just coming alive. They were walking and talking and saying, and some of them had been in this state for decades. So all these years had gone by while they were asleep in this place. And they woke up and things had changed so radically within that amount of time. And so they got everybody together and they put them on a bus and they took them on a tour and they brought them out and they had a good time together. And yet they were still, you know, under observation, and they wanted to make sure that things were going to work out okay. So long story short, they began to relapse and go back into sleep. And it ended fairly sad, yeah. And you know, there's a parallel here, isn't there? Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. That you and I, when we are born again, we wake up. Yes. Has anybody been born again? Yes. Yes. When you're born again, you wake up. Yes. It's a new world. It's a new day. It's a new dawning. That's when you know you're born again. Amen? You don't have to ask anybody if you're born again. You know you are. When you're born again, it's a new day. But unfortunately, if we're not careful, after the years begin to go by, we can fall back into slumber again. Sometimes fairly quickly, if we don't learn how to stay awake. And we don't need a drug to stay awake. The Lord is the one who wakes us up and keeps us awake. And yet there's something that we must learn, something that we must do to remain awake. Unless we are awake, we're not going to help affect anybody else or wake up anybody else. Are you with me? Unless we are lit up, we're not going to be the light of the world. We're not going to be able to light the world up unless we're lit up. And so in the temple, the priests were responsible for trimming the wick and keeping the oil, you know, supplied to the candle stand. It was to be continually lit. And yet it was a responsibility of the priests to tend to the candlestick and make sure there was enough supply of oil to keep the flames burning in the second chamber, or the holy place, not the most holy, but the holy place where the table of showbread was. You remember? Likewise, you and I in the New Testament are priests unto God. Amen. It's not for certain individuals. In fact, where it talks about authority or leadership in the church, there are apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, the fivefold, amen? But the priesthood belongs to the individual believer. We are all priests unto God. And therefore, likewise, as the Old Testament priest, we are to also tend the flame. Make sure that we are maintaining a ample supply of oil to the heart, amen, to our hearts, so that we stay lit, so that we stay awake, so that we can continue to shine, amen, for Jesus. And it doesn't matter how spiritual we are, how long we've been a Christian, but all of us have the potential to run out of oil. Are you with me? To leak out and for the light to go dim. And I think, and in fact I know what God is saying, is that He wants you and I as individuals to stay awake, to stay filled. And when we come together, it's going to be glorious. Amen? We don't come to church, it's not a filling station necessarily. You know, like we're going around the track. You know, heard that illustration. And we stop in at the pit stop, get a little oil, and then we go on our journey for however long. How many know it's important for us to be in fellowship? And we can receive nourishment and oil, amen, in fellowship, in the times that we meet together. But we need to learn as individuals how to tend the flame, how to keep the oil supply filled in our lives. If we would do that as individuals, then we'll have corporate revival. Now, this church, I believe, is a church that's in revival. We're not a sleeping church. But you know, folks, very quickly we can become a sleeping church if we don't stay vigilant, if we don't stay awake, if we don't stay alert, if we don't stay mindful of the fact that we need His presence every day. We should never be so presumptuous to think that I'm okay. We had a good service on Sunday and I'm going to go on that oil for the rest of the week. And come on, how many know that you're going to be dragging in even if you even make it back the next week? Because God is trying to teach us to come to Him as individuals, amen, to be filled and not depend on somebody else's oil. The five foolish virgins said, "Give us some of your oil." They said, "We don't have enough for you. We got enough for us. You need to go to those who sell oil and get some for yourself." See, God is saying to you and I as individuals, it's our responsibility to keep the flame. It's our responsibility to stay awake, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? We can't depend on everybody else's anointing to survive. What happens is you become a spiritual leech. Now, if you get too many people coming together with that mentality, I'm hoping, well, the pastor will do everything for me. He's the one that's going to, you know, supply the Spirit and all this. And if we have that mentality, how many know that church will dry up very quickly? The reason why this church is alive is because you are seeking the Lord yourself. It's because you have a walk with Jesus. Amen? You're keeping the supply of oil. And when people have the supply of oil come together, boy, we have a lot of oil together. And we do minister to one another. We do share. Amen? But we don't ever get to the place where we depend on others to carry us. You need to let Jesus do that. Only Jesus is going to hold you. Amen? He's going to keep you. In Ephesians 5 and verse 13, it says, "But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light." Ephesians 5 verse 13. In the English Standard Version, it says it this way, "But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible." Now we know that in order for us to see clearly, to be able to navigate in this present darkness, we have to have the light. Amen? In order to have the light, we have to have the oil. We have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so it's the light of Christ that gives us discernment to know what is good and what is evil. Amen? What is right and what is wrong? What is of Him and what is of the enemy? And sometimes the enemy is so slick that he'll use a good thing to deceive you. He'll present something that looks good, but it's not really God's plan. It's from the wrong source. It may not even be a bad thing, but it's from the wrong source. Has anybody ever done that before? Made a quick decision because something appeared to be a good thing? And later you're saying, why did I do that? God's trying to teach us something. He allows us to fall on our face because He knows sometimes that's how we learn too. Has anybody ever made a mistake before? I see that hand. Yeah. Therefore, he says in verse 14, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And then right after that, he says, see then that you work circumspectly, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, you know as well as I do that you cannot know God's will until you know the heart and know the mind of God. Amen? Now, sometimes we depend on somebody else to tell us what God's will is for us. But how many know you can get in trouble doing that? If you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord, if you're not able to hear his voice for yourself, how do you know that what that person is telling you is from God? Because if a person is speaking by the Holy Spirit and you're walking in the Spirit, you're going to know that's a word from God. Otherwise, well, God spoke to me from so-and-so. I never heard that before, but it sounded good. Sometimes the devil sounds good, you know. In fact, most of the time he speaks very smoothly. As oil. It just very smooth. But sometimes, you know, folks, without even realizing it, you know, we lose our spiritual zeal. We lose our joy. We lose our love, our gratitude. We even lose that sense of wonder that we once had. Has anybody ever been there before? Being honest today? Especially if we've been a Christian a long time, we've got to be very careful that we aren't trying to live off of yesterday's bread. Amen. After last week's anointing. But that we learn how to gather daily, and that we learn how to walk in the Spirit, stay connected, stay awake. Because it's a very subtle thing. It happens very slowly. And before we know it, we're like, wow, how have I drifted so far away? Can any of us here honestly say, I can look back to a time when I was more on fire for God than I am now? How many know that's where God wants you? Right now. When you're on fire, when you're just absolutely in love with Jesus, folks, that's where we're supposed to be. That's where we're supposed to stay. That's our first love. We're supposed to abide in that love. Would anybody agree with me today that we need more? Maybe we even need to return, get back to where we once were. Paul told his son in the Lord, Timothy, to stir up the gift of God within him. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, verse 3, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers, night and day. Verse 4, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which, listen, dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Do you see what Paul is saying here? He's saying that your mother and your grandmother had great influence over your life because they sowed into your life. They prayed for you. They sowed the word into you. And as a result, there was fruit in Timothy's life. Sometimes we want the Sunday school to teach our kids, you know? Now, Sunday school's a good thing, and that should be an extra benefit, but it should not be the only source, amen? It should be coming from mom and dad. Therefore, he says, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. Now, remember, he had apostolic authority, and there was an impartation through his laying on of hands over his son Timothy in the Lord. But he told Timothy, Timothy, stir up that gift that's within you. And the original Greek really means as if you're using a bellows on the embers. The light is there. The coal is there, but it's dim. And he says, you need to get the bellows blowing on them coals again. Fan into flame the gift of God within you. Stir up. I also think of a poker, taking a poker, amen? And you ever do that and just stir up that fire and get that thing going again? Sometimes, folks, we're just like that. We can be an ember, you know? There's a little glow there, but it's not flaming. It's not doing much. It's not lighting up much. But we need the bellows of the Holy Spirit to breathe, amen, on us again. So that we'll light up and we can light up the world. We can be that light. That we can let our light shine to such a degree that they're going to see that something is obviously authentic about your walk and your life. That this is not just, you know, a phase that you're going through. Has anybody ever had anybody tell you in your Christian walk, well, it's just a phase? Maybe you've had some old dried up prune saint. I'm talking about a spiritual dried up prune. Come up to you and say, oh, you're just being emotional. It'll pass. You'll be just as dead as I am someday. Well, maybe you haven't, but I have. You know, sometimes older saints can get jealous over younger saints. Come on, that are on fire for God. They may not have a lot of wisdom, but they got a lot of zeal. Sometimes we may be a little envious of that. You know, that's kind of a good envy, actually. I think we should have such a life and an example that people want what we have. Amen. That's a good thing to want. Amen. Covet earnestly, right? The best gifts. So we got to get the poker out, stir up the gift of God that's within us. Now, listen. Are you hearing this? God is not going to do that for you. If you think you're just going to sit around and wait for the wind to blow, well, one of these days, I'm going to get up out of this complacency, out of this apathy, and I'm going to start living for Jesus. But I'm waiting for the angel to appear to me. Stir up the water. What is Paul telling Timothy? He says, you need to stir up the gift of God in you. You need to stir yourself. You need to break out of the shell of complacency. You need to exercise, amen, and break out your wings and soar. Sometimes, folks, you need to aggressively come against apathy and complacency. How do you stir it up? Well, we're going to get to that in just a moment. So he said right in verse 7, right after he tells them to stir up the gift, he says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. So the first thing he does in verse 6, he says, Timothy, I want to remind you to stir up the gift of God that is within you. And then in verse 8, he says, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. How many see there's a connection between the bellows of the Holy Spirit, amen, the stirring up of the gift of God, and being able to boldly, confidently proclaim the truth, even in this case, in the face of persecution? He was writing from jail, and he was suffering because of his testimony. And he's saying, listen, the answer is for you to stay awake, to stay alive, to stay on fire for God, to stir up that gift. Don't let your light go out. Don't let your love grow cold. Stay alive, stay alert, stay awake. If ever there was a time when we need to be watchful, it's now. God's looking for those who will stay awake because they're going to be the ones he's going to be able to use. How many know, folks, if God is searching, he's searching for those whose hearts are loyal to him. And even though you may have a gift, if you allow that gift to become dormant and you don't do anything with that gift that you have, God's going to look for somebody who's available. Somebody who's walking and being actively engaging in the ministry God has given them. Are you with me? Those who are proving to be faithful in little, God will make ruler of much. But if what we do have, we don't do anything with, then even what we think we have, eventually we're going to lose. Now, the gifts and callings are without repentance. God gives it. Amen? Not because we repented, but because God said, I'm choosing you for this purpose in this world. But it's your responsibility, my responsibility, to stir up that gift that's within me and begin to activate it by faith, by doing what I know God has shown me to do, by taking little steps of obedience. You'll begin to discover more and more who you are and what God has put in you. So you see, you're not going to have a manifestation of what's in you until you start stepping out in faith, believing that God is a rewarder. Mm-hmm. So Paul makes a connection between being spiritually awake and our ability to testify shamelessly about our Lord. Now, I want to say this because this is not talking about those zealous brawlers who like to box with the gospel. Or use it as a weapon against others. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. But this is talking about those who are led by the Holy Spirit to testify to the grace of God. There are some people who will use the word as a weapon against other people. How many know that's using the word deceitfully? Sometimes we use it on each other because we have a beef with somebody. Ever had anybody use the word against you in that kind of manner? Just because they had a beef with you? Start quoting scripture? Whatever we do in word or in deed, we're to do it to the glory of God. And you know what glorifies God? Loving people. Loving one another. This is my commandment. So whatever we do, even if it's correction, it always has to be given in the right spirit. It has to be done in gentleness and respect. It has to be done in love. Because God is a redemptive God. Whatever he does, even when he punishes us, as a good father should, he does it with redemption in mind. He wants to turn us around so he can bless us. Because he's good. And he's good to us. So sometimes we don't like it when he does that, but later on we'll say, well, I guess it was good for me. Just like when we were kids, we didn't like getting paddled, right? But you're still here, so you survived it. And maybe some of you need a paddle. I don't know. I'm just kidding. Yep. Am I in trouble yet? I'm working on it. Ephesians 5:14 says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So God wants us to awaken our spiritual zeal. You know, even the Apostle Paul himself, you know, you say, well, that was Apostle Paul speaking. I mean, the Apostle Paul was just a man. He was just a man. He was a great man, but he was just a man. But it was the Spirit of God that was working mightily through his life that brought the results. And we're so blessed having 2/3 of the New Testament. Amen? Because Paul was not one to sit on his laurels and hope somebody was going to get the job done. Paul moved, motivated by the love of God. He kept himself awake. But you know, even Paul himself, he was speaking to Timothy and said, Timothy, I need you to pray for me. There's times, folks, that we need others to pray for us. Are you with me? We need to pray for one another. And so he told him to keep this flame alive in him. In Ephesians 6:18, he said, pray in the Spirit at all times. This is in the New Living Translation. And on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And then he said, pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. Now, the Jews were having a problem with Paul, amen, because he was God's instrument and he was bringing the gospel to the Gentiles. And you know, sometimes, folks, people will get jealous of you and I if we're walking in the Spirit. Jealousy can produce all kinds of bad fruit and opposition in your life. Have you ever had anybody try to knock you down a few notches because they were simply jealous over you? Yeah. We need to expect that. You know, the bottom line is nobody can knock you down a few notches if you're walking in God. They may try to rub your name in the mud. They may try to say all kinds of stuff about you. But if you're walking with God, if God is for you, who can be against you? God is the one who promotes. And if he promotes you, if he sets you someplace, no man can take it from you. They might fight against you. They may oppose you. They may try to resist you. But if God is with you, God is for you, and he is, and you're in obedience to him, you're doing what he's told you to do, God's going to give you victory. There may be times when you're knocked down, but you're not going to stay there. You're going to get back up. If you and I are born again, it's not a question of, do I have the gift of God? There are a lot of Christians I've heard that say, I really don't have anything. You know, Catherine Kuhlman was one of those people that said, didn't think she had anything. And look how God worked through her in such a mighty way. Everybody who's in Christ has received the gift of God. So no, it's really not a question of, do I have the gift of God? It's, what am I doing with the gift of God? And in order for you to activate the gift of God, it's going to require a step of faith. It's going to require you and I stirring that gift up within us. It's going to cause you and I to awaken. So then we can see clearly. And we can see from God's perspective. Because if we're looking just from our perspective at things, life can get pretty bad really quick. Life can get depressing. Life can seem hopeless, doesn't it, at times, if we're looking at things from our perspective. But what God is saying is, come up higher. Come up with me. Pray. Seek my face. Come up into my presence. Rise up on wings as eagles. Enter in to the secret place with me. Have an eagle's eye view. Start to see things from heaven's perspective. And you'll realize that your problem that seemed to be this big is now this big. It's really not that big. But it's a matter of perspective. So God is saying, stir up the gift within you. Some of you, God uses mightily in intercession. Intercessors know as well, you've got to stir up that gift of intercession within you. You've got to start activating it by stepping out and just beginning to give God praise. How do you activate it? Start praising God. Amen. Praise. Thanksgiving. Prayer. Acts of obedience. Steps of obedience. Remember when Elisha picked up the mantle that fell from Elijah? What did he do? He said, man, that's a really nice mantle. I think I'll wear it and show off and let everybody look how spiritual I am. I've got Elijah's mantle now. You remember the story, right? When Elijah went to heaven and the mantle of Elijah fell. What did Elisha do? He had to pick it up.
That's right. Amen.
I mean, it required action. He had to take first the mantle. But that wasn't enough. He had to, by faith, activate the gift of God. And he struck the waters. He said, where is the God of Elijah? You know, folks, it's what we need to do. We need to step out. We need to prophesy. And we need to say, where is the God of Elijah? Because if you don't step out of the place of predictability of what just you and I can do naturally, you're not going to be able to step into the realm of the supernatural and affect change in this world. We can have a nice social gathering and nice little programs and a nice little teaching and sermonettes and all that. But folks, what we need is the power of God to move through our lives,
yes,
to touch people.
Amen.
We need to hear the voice of God and speak clearly that word that will produce change. Because only God's word is going to change hearts. Another way we stir up the gift of God in us is by what we're doing right now. Fellowshipping. I know there's some of us here, you're just chomping at the bit. Sometimes you're like, man, I really feel like I gotta get out here. I gotta say that word. I gotta share that testimony. I gotta share that dream or that vision or whatever it is that God gave me. I've got something to give, and maybe I shouldn't. And some of you sat on it, you know, and then the time went by and they said, oh man, why didn't I say something? And others, you know, you may go for several days, not much happening, but you get into fellowship with God's people, and all of a sudden that gift starts to come alive in you. That's why Paul said, the writer of Hebrews said, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I can tell you so many times, folks, and I'm supposed to be preaching, and I come here, and I'm doing all the right things, but you know, I'm still, sometimes I just feel dry. But as soon as I get around God's people, are you with me?
Yes.
As soon as we start singing and praising God together, it's just like, wow.
Amen.
See, this is God's order. This is God's way. So we need as much as possible to come together. Come to the midweek. Come as often as you can. Get together with others. Pray for one another. Call people on the phone. But stay connected to the body of Christ, because each member is going to minister, amen, to one, each to the other. Everybody here has, if you're in Christ, you have the gift of God in you. But you've got to activate it. You've got to stir it up. You've got to start doing it and using it.
Amen.
Amen. It's not enough to know you have something. You've got to start using it. In Ephesians 5:18, he said, do not be drunk with wine. We know this so well. You don't need the stuff of the world, which leads to destruction, but be filled with the Spirit. And that word means, be filled means continually, as an ongoing filling of the Holy Spirit. And then he says in verse 19, speaking to one another. How many know that you can't speak to one another unless you're in fellowship? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. What part of singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord don't we understand? I don't feel like it today. Do it anyways. The part of you that says I don't feel like it is the part that has to die. That's that old man resisting what God wants to do. You got to do the opposite. Speak to one another. Give thanks, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, a few weeks ago we talked about the Feast of Joy and how the Feast of Tabernacles was their Jewish Thanksgiving feast, and how this feast really was a joyous occasion. And in Isaiah 12 says, therefore with joy you shall draw water from the wells of Yeshua, Jesus. It was talking about the water pouring, which is part of that festival. They didn't know why they did it, but they did say that there was nothing like it. The water pouring ceremony, where the priest would go down and to the Pool of Siloam, and they would bring water up to the Temple Mount with the people rejoicing and pour the water out, and then quote that scripture from Isaiah. Therefore, with joy you shall draw water. And so here they are. It's a feast of joy, but it's produced by thanksgiving. And so here we have it, folks. If we're not thankful, we're going to very quickly forget our testimony. We're going to forget the goodness of God. And when we become unthankful, then we start grumbling. We start complaining. We get into a funk. And then we're not even usually going to pray. We're going to get mad at God. And then we're going to start to leak out and get weaker and weaker. And then life just seems to like just stack up, doesn't it, in that place. Why? Because now we're waddling around in the barnyard again with our own perspective of things. And God is saying, listen, quit worrying about it. Quit fretting about it. Set it all aside. I want you to come up here with me. I want you to come up above it. I'm going to show you something. Sometimes God uses those times in our lives, doesn't he? Just to get us into the position where we're going to get desperate to seek him. Stirring up the gift of God within you. I believe that we are entering into some very troublesome days. I think we all see it. I think anybody that's walking anywhere with the Lord understands that we're living in some very trying times right now. America is in trouble, and it's going to require God's people to return. It's going to require that you and I stay filled. It's going to require that you and I shine in such a manner that we're going to light up the darkness. We are not to be influenced by darkness, but we are to influence the darkness. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will not become a victim of the darkness. Amen? Come on, a small light can be seen for miles. They taught us that in the army. You can have a little match or something lit up and see it from miles away. Just a little light can go a long ways. But God's saying, I don't want you just to have a little light. He says, I don't want you just to be a burning coal or an ember. I want you to allow me, amen, to breathe in your life fresh, a fresh wind of my spirit, fresh anointing, stirring up the gift within you. Come alive, come alive, come alive. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Stir up that gift within you. Begin to exalt and praise and magnify the Lord. We're in a war. We're in a battle. And we need to stay vigilant. We need to stay alert. We need to stay awake so that we have heaven's perspective on things. And it doesn't matter what the world is saying and how the world is worried about this and worried about that. As God's people, that's illegal. We are not to worry about those things. Instead, we are to draw near to our God. Our God is going to get us through it. When you walk through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And through the fire, you shall not be burned. So let's stay awake. Let's stir up the gift of God within us.